The church we want to be. There's Bibles at the front. Once we get into table discussion, hopefully at every table there's at least one Bible. If there's not, please feel free to come and get one of the ones that they're at the front here. I want to start by reading a few verses from the book of Acts, and you'll see a little white slip of paper. Sorry, before we do that, talk around your table. Find out the individual at your table who has traveled the furthest distance from Beaumont, Alberta. Okay? Do that. Find that person. No, not today. Thank you for that clarification. Give this table a hand. They are the ever. Good question. Yeah, because, oh, that could have been the furthest distance to get to the church. That's right. Okay, yeah. Sorry for my non-clarity. You've traveled on some trip sometime. Somebody's been to Tanzania or somebody. Find the person that's journeyed the furthest. Okay, do you got that? Put up your hand, that person at your table, who is the journeyer, traveler. Okay, welcome to the world of facilitating. If you're a first-timer here and you don't want to do that, you pass it to somebody who is in their home church this morning. You feel free to do that. But otherwise, if you're an ECCer, welcome to the world of facilitation. There's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. All you got to do is be the one to remind people of the question and then wait. And wait till somebody is brave enough to be the first speaker. Don't be afraid to be the first speaker. You be the first speaker this morning. And the facilitator, if you could take notes, just what we're going to do, these questions that you'll see here, they are these. If you could only choose one character quality for which Eaglemont Church, or Eaglemont Christian Church, ECC, as it's on the sheet there, if you could choose only one character quality for which this local church was known, what would it be and why? And again, if you're a guest here this morning, excuse us as we kind of talked some in-house chatter this morning, but your input would actually be very, very valuable, maybe from a perspective that's different. So, and then what I want you to do, and we'll dive into this in a moment. By consensus at your table, select only one of those character qualities that everybody suggests. Don't be afraid. Throw them all out. Just make a list. Boom, 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 boom. And then select one by consensus that you will put forward in a larger group. I'm hoping to have time to hear what your one quality will be from each table. One character quality that this church, in this community especially, is known for, or will become known for increasingly. I should rephrase that. Not necessarily that we are known for now, but what you would want your local church in your broader community to be known for. One character quality, okay? And then we'll come back and attach some biblical references that would give us a biblical foundation for that character quality. Okay? So keep that in mind. But I want you to listen to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. This is, I mean, there's many verses we could select from, but here in a paragraph is a succinct, clear expression of so much of what the early church, the church in Acts, was about. I love these verses. They devoted themselves, that is the Christians, the Christ followers, early church scenario here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, Eucharist, communion had been instituted, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone, now this is everyone looking in on this group of Christ followers, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders. Well, that everyone probably includes, obviously, the body of Christ as well. Everyone filled with awe was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They didn't have TV, obviously. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They connected over meals. They ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. I love that. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's pretty cool. So, we're going to dive right in to table discussion. If you're at a table where there's no paper pad or whatever, group up with a table. I think we've got it covered here. But first question. And don't dive into the second question too much. Actually, you know what? Yeah, let's do that together instead of breaking it up. I'll give you a good segment of time here. Probably we'll see how it goes. I'll wander around and see how you're doing. But let's start with a 10-minute time frame just to give you ballpark. And so allowing everybody to contribute at the table that wants to. Addressing these two questions, okay? So fire away if you have a question of me as your discussion progresses. Put your hand up and I'll come your way, okay? So go to it. Spend a minute or two just introducing yourself by name if you haven't done so already around the table, and maybe how long you've been at Eaglemont Church here, or if you're a guest, what have you, just to get introduced to one another, okay? Opportunity, okay? Okay, everybody listen now. Wind down your conversation now. Okay.
You're sneaky.
Go ahead.
Well, the first one we said inviting and friendly. Okay. And on the second, generous, sharing in time, spirit-filled, encouraging, and make you want to learn more. And our reference was Romans 12, 9 to 13.
Okay. Romans 12, 9 to 13. If you can give a brief phrase of the passage that you're selecting, that's helpful too. So, one character quality and scripture.
We didn't know about the scripture.
Okay. Someone here will help you with that.
We just, it's kind of obvious, but just like a natural love for people.
Okay.
Natural love expression of Christ's love for us and for others.
Okay. Miriam, do you want to go to the whiteboard and write these on? I got to hold this closer. So we have one, love, and if you selected love as your number one from your table, don't change it, okay? And yours, again, was inviting. So kind of along the friendliness, kind of along the same stream as the love character. Who's speaking here? Jason.
All right, we chose authentic Christ followers. And our verse was Mark 14:36, which was, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.
Cool. And I haven't seen the little guy yet. Oh, he's cute. Okay. I feel like Phil Donahue. Anybody remember who Phil Donahue is? Hey, his wife's name was Marlo, right?
We said, welcoming. Amongst all others, and the verse that we're using is 1 Samuel 16:7b, which says that God does not look at the outward appearance, but he looks to the heart.
Awesome.
And in addition to that, Jesus was accused of mingling with sinners, and I think we have to mingle with everybody. So welcoming.
Good. Excellent. Are you okay talking into a microphone, Dad?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, our first one was welcoming, the sense of community. Several were somewhat related, and we chose the main one as a safe haven for people to come to. And for the future, empowering, strengthening people to become witnesses for the spiritual growth. Authentic, I heard that word already from someone else. And finally, the last one, I think, as one to be targeted, was living in the reality of Christ's presence, coming to church and wearing Christ with us and on us all the time, so that other people would sense that in us.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's. Were you going to say something else? No? Okay. Sorry, I'm rushing, but do we have to?
Good, I can make this quick then.
Okay.
Okay, we settled on teaching, a teaching church.
Okay.
We're interested in open-minded, and we just know that people really need to be able to further their journey with Christ.
Right, okay.
And be accepted where they're at and who they are. And we were just quickly looking at John, verse 4, when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. He was teaching her of the living water, and he accepted her as who she was. We were talking about how she had 5 husbands. So we might all come from some pretty sketchy backgrounds, but an open-minded church that helps you from where you're at and teaches you about the living water.
Awesome. That's a great passage. I love John 4.
Our first one was non-judgmental. In the scripture we use, he is without sin, cast the first stone, which is John 8:7. And judge not, lest ye be judged, Matthew 7:1. The second one was caring. We used the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10:30, for that one. And embracing, suffer the little children, Mark 10:14.
Cool.
And all, you, and I don't remember the where it is, but all you are weary and heavy laden.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent stuff. Non-judgmental makes me think of that phrase. I mean, we need this to be a place, and you've heard this before, if you've been around here, but where it's okay to not be okay. And that's not always the case in church life, but it needs to be if we're modeling these other characteristics that people are talking about. Dave?
Yep. Our group came up with it's important to have a servant's attitude or while serving the community. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the exact reference, but it's important. We took that greater love hath no man than he that laid down his life for others.
It's good. Excellent. Hal?
We picked compassionate, and our scripture verse was a woman at the well. Ephesians 4:32.
Okay. Sorry, the woman at the well you said too, which is the same reference that they were highlighting. Good. Who's the spokesman here?
We came up with family. We're just making sure people feel connected to the church and stay a part of it. We didn't get a chance to get a reference.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Amanda, you look like you're ready to...
We chose friendly. People feel welcome and accepted, and it's kind of the first step to leading to other like characteristics. And just kind of general from the Bible, Jesus was friendly and accepting to people, no matter who they were or where they came from, and that we are friends of God. So we should be friends to others.
Cool. Some common observations here I see surfacing. Janelle?
We started out with listening to the fruits of the Spirit, but then we kind of put it all into one thing and said love, because it's really hard to have any of the other good characteristics if you're not loving. Yeah. And so our example is Galatians 5:22-23, which lists the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Thank you. Thank you, young people. James?
Hi. Yeah, we talked actually a lot of the things that have been said, you know, friendly, inviting. Another thing we thought was intergenerational. It's important that, you know, kids of older mentors and all that stuff. But one word that we thought wrapped it all up was neighborly.
Mm. Cool.
And our verse was love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, good. I'm glad you chose that instead of Mr. Rogers' theme song. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm done.
Oh, you're done. Okay, so I didn't interrupt that. Excellent, excellent. That's good input, folks. And I want to highlight a few things here. Did I miss a table? I didn't do that purposely. Thank you. Who's speaking here? Sorry about that.
So our feelings are hurt.
Yeah. But you'll be friendly about it.
I'll be friendly about it, yeah. We came up with many of the same qualities that were listed, and that there's certainly a theme of friendliness and acceptance. The one that we chose to summarize it all was devotion to God. And out of that would come love for others. And so we couldn't find the address of the verse, but we were thinking of when Jesus was talking and the religious leaders asked him, what's the most important rule? What's the most important thing? And Jesus said, is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love others as yourself.
Yeah, excellent. That's a great way to wrap it up with that love God, love people passage that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, didn't he? Some of what I want to share, and these are on the board, I want to take these down later, but let me highlight just a few, and most of these have been said. I'll go through this very quickly, and then I want us to conclude in a time of prayer this morning that God would help us to be these things as a church to one another and to our community, and a prayer time this morning as well for needs that are represented here. The church you want to be, I put down, and again, the priority, the order, some feed out, as some of you mentioned, and I see that too, feeding out of other things, and it's hard to nail down what's number one, but it is hard to argue with loving as a priority that was suggested here. A church that just loves God and loves people can do so much, can make such a difference. If genuine love and acceptance and welcoming, and it's just interesting to chart. I want you to leave your sheets, if you wouldn't mind, on the table so I can take a look at your notes and have see your discussion. But it'll be interesting to see the welcoming, the accepting, the friendliness, the neighborly, the love, all kind of on the same stream, right? Would be a high majority of tables that highlighted that. There's some excellent verses. I was going to have different ones read, but for time's sake, we won't do that. But Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, it says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And then Paul says, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. What a great testimonial statement to be able to be said. I pray as a pastor, and I hope as a participant as I am in this church family, that is our desire, to see an increasing, incremental and consistent increasing evidence of love in this body. How did Paul know the church in Thessalonica was growing? He says, your faith is growing. Right after that, he tags on how he could tell was because there was evidence that love one Christian to another was increasing. And that's a phenomenal testimonial statement of any local church. Galatians 5:13, serve one another with love. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all you do be done with love. Even those challenging conversations that sometimes in the body of Christ we need to have. There's two ways you can talk about difficult issues or relational tension. You can do it kind of as a defensive or attacking kind of mode, or you can do it in a loving way. And that's skills that we need to learn in the body of Christ. How to talk about challenging issues, but in a loving and teachable way. Colossians 3:12-14. I want to read that. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Colossians 3:12-14 says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Some of those same character qualities that you guys brought out when you talk about the passages, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then verse 14 is the key passage that makes all of those other things possible. And Paul says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's love that will result in all of these other character qualities. Do you know the church is a one another environment? There's a Greek word, and the word is elalon. Now, I'm sure you're all going to remember that, but it's the Greek word which most frequently is translated one another. You ever notice how many one anothers there are, especially from Acts onward through the New Testament? The church, the body of Christ, is a one another environment. It's used, that Greek word is used over 60 times in the New Testament to describe how Christians are to function as a body. Love one another, be devoted to one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, support. You know the phrases. Love, love, love motivates us and enables us to follow through on all those one another's. So God, baptize us. That should be our prayer as individuals and as a church. Baptize us in your love, Holy Spirit. Please, don't let me come out, because many times that's not too loving. Holy Spirit, immerse me in your love. So that's love. Prayer saturated is one that I put down as well. I agree with the author of the book, Red Moon Rising, when he said this. The author says, I think there's a danger spiritually for many of us that if God picked up and left town today, we might not notice until tomorrow or worse. We have strategies and structures that can easily bypass the Holy Spirit. God gave us common sense and calls us to be good stewards of our resources. But if our techniques for time management, people management, money management, church management become automatic, we may well lose the dynamic leadership of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And that's where prayer comes in our individual lives. And as a church, we must grow in prayer and pray. Ephesians 6:18 says that prayer makes everything else work, basically, is my paraphrase of that passage. Prayer indicates that there's a dependent and a humble attitude. And in the economy of the kingdom of God and in church life, if it's the humble that make the greatest advances and make the greatest impact. That passage in Ephesians 6 talks about praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. In cooperation with the will of the Holy Spirit, and also in the Spirit in terms of prayer language, of praying in a language that is not my own, as we see in the book of Acts so much. Obviously important, since it took place, that kind of prayer, at the very point of the initiation of the church in Acts 2, 1-4. And then, of course, the spinoff in Acts 2, as you read that chapter, people heard the word of God and the wonders of God, it says in Acts 2:11. They heard the wonders of God declared in their own languages by people who didn't know those languages. Just a phenomenal expression. But how did that come about? How did all that supernatural activity, how did all that church growth and the signs and wonders referred to, how did it come about? By believers who obeyed Christ's call to go and pray and spend time waiting on God in the upper room. You know, our monthly prayer gatherings have been consistently small groups. But there's not one, I can't remember one time in these 4 years where that second Sunday night of the month where I've gone away deflated, scared. Sometimes there's three or four. And consistently, because people were genuinely seeking God for His will in our lives and praying for needs and situations, praying for the future of our church and praying for world missions and praying for people that we know in our lives, in our network of relationships that don't know Christ and all these things. We're praying about a family situation. But I go away encouraged. And sometimes I just think, well, I wonder if that sense of strength and buoyancy and hope and faith for the future of what God wants to do in our lives and as a church would just increase all the more if we quadruple the number of people praying together. And I know there's prayer that goes on in your small groups, and small group leaders, keep this a priority. Pray for our church. Pray for family situations. Pray for needs. Pray together for people that don't know Christ in your small groups. Please, please, please do that. Regularly. That's got to be a very significant part of coming together, either in a small group or our all-church prayer gathering. But all I'm saying is, you know what? I think part of it is we don't really believe that prayer is important or necessary. We're doing okay. I've got a nice building. Well, my kids are being well-fed in Sunday school, and we're doing pretty good in family and modeling Christ. C- Can we capture a vision? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to capture or to place within us a vision of what could be if we did what the early Christians did and waited on God and sought God and 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about things like nations being totally transformed when God's people pray. The possibilities are really phenomenal. But I think that we need to recapture a sense of the need, of the great, great need for prayer. Otherwise, we'll never be a truly praying church. And God wants us to be a prayer-saturated church. And we have growth that needs to happen in that area. Moving on, quickly, worshiping. I want us to be a worshiping church. There's a story in 2 Chronicles 20 in the Old Testament. The Moabites, the Ammonites were coming against Judah, and it was a large multitude, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2. Here's some key verses from that passage. Verse 15, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Cool. Verse 17, "See the deliverance of the Lord. It's going to happen." That was the promise in this scenario. In verse 21, first thing they did, what did they do? What did Judah start to do when they saw this army come? Did they sharpen their swords, their spears? Some of you know the story. No, they didn't. Well, what did they do? They began to sing. They began to worship. They began to let go and let God and worship. And sometimes the best thing that you can do in your pain is not to try to figure things out, but just begin to worship God Almighty. He's a big God. And it's as we learn the discipline, the joy, the privilege of worship, and what that means, not just in the corporate gathering, it's important, but every day as we drive, as we spend time in the family room in that big chair with our Bible open or put on the worship CD or sing ourselves or just talk worship expressions or just be quiet and enjoy His presence in worship. Perspective changes. Hope is deposited. The pain won't necessarily go away. The difficulty will maybe probably still be there when you walk out of the house that morning. But perspective will change because you know that you are in the hand of Almighty God, creator of the universe, sustainer of life, giver of peace, deliverer of hope in the midst of what looks like a hopeless situation. Worship, to grow in worship. I want that for our church. I want our church family to be able to come and fill this room with the praises of God. Now, sometimes maybe it's a little awkward because it's a gym and the sound is a challenge. And boy, there's a lot of space to fill there. And if I sing, I'm going to be heard. And all these things go through. It's not even about singing. And yet, I think true worship results in some bodily. I consistently see it in the Bible. Consistently, that true worship in the heart expresses itself somehow. Sometimes it's silence. Sometimes it's shouting. Sometimes it's dancing. I know, you haven't seen me dance too much. No, I was going to do break out there, but I won't. But what bodily, kneeling, clapping, singing, speaking. There are consistently in Scripture bodily expressions, outward manifestations of true worship from the heart. God, show us how we can worship you. Worship keeps, four things real quick. Worship keeps us focused on who's in control, doesn't it? Worship reminds us that we serve a big God. Worship helps to cultivate trust in God within our hearts and minds. Worship lifts our spirits to connect with God's Spirit. That's phenomenal. Gifted. I know that our church is gifted. The Bible says so. 1 Peter 4:10. Everyone has received gifts and must use them. Let's move on. I got six. Five is outreach focus. Outreach focused. Rob Bell says in Velvet Elvis is the book, the church is at its best when it gives itself away. And that came out in one or two of your expressions this morning at your table. The church is at its best when it gives itself away. How easy it is for us to get in comfort mode. And one of the first things to shut down is serving. No strings attached. That's the easiest, one of the easiest things, I think, to lose. We've got to keep it in front of us. Constantly finding a way. Some of you do that so well in your neighborhoods. You listen. You talk to people. You find people in pain, and you reach out, and you serve. No strings attached. I love to hear those stories, and I do hear those stories. I'm in a position where, and some of you in your small group, you hear those stories. Keep going. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't become weary in well-doing, as the Bible says. And I want that to be a characteristic of our church. Need to continue to put that before us. John 10:10. Jesus' life mission was to come, and he wanted to give life. And he came as the ultimate servant. If that's his life mission, then it needs to be ours as well. And then finally, a church that is spirit-filled. What's that mean? That doesn't mean wacky. That means powerful. That means powered by the source of power that created everything we see in this universe. A church that's spirit-filled will not just have it on the sign. No, it's filled with people who are spirit-filled and depending every day on the Holy Spirit for every word they speak, for every decision they make. And how do we know, primarily, that we are spirit-filled church, spirit-filled people? I think the key sign biblically is that we have boldness and passion along with grace and love to witness for Christ. And we heard that this morning as well. Acts 1:8, the reason the Holy Spirit was sent was to give us power to be a witness effectively to who Christ is and what he can do in people's lives. And that takes surrender. We sang about it. That takes surrender and yieldedness. I think of, in reading Acts, Peter, he was one guy that denied Christ. He was filled with the Spirit, and then what did he do? He was the one that got up, Acts 2, and spoke boldly for Christ on that Pentecost day in Acts 2. So, there's much here. Any one of these are messages or series in their own. And if this is your home church, can I ask you, even as we start to transition through August into fall and our season of ministry that is so crucial, there are people, friends, there are people in this town, in this region, who are broken, who are hurting, who feel alone, who all of those things. You meet them in your work. And they don't have to come into this building to find Christ. I hope you meet with them over lunch and you're able to share Christ and share what God has done in your life and lead them to Christ. And then they connect in the body. If coming on a Sunday is part of their process of spiritual searching, that's phenomenal too. But the Spirit of God wants to use you primarily as salt and light. And all of that, as individual believers, allow our lives to be salt and light and allow the Holy Spirit to change our character so that we're loving in the body and in our neighborhoods and our workplaces. All of that builds the church. Builds, not this church, builds the church, the body of Christ. All of that brings, as we depend on the Holy Spirit for every word, to lean into his voice and promptings, to walk across the room as we studied a couple of years ago here already, to be a walk across the room, Spirit-led Christian. Walk across the street, walk across the gym, wherever we are. That builds the church of Jesus. And more people will be in heaven if we focus on some of this good stuff than if we just choose to, settle for the status quo. I don't want status quo, and I don't think you do either. So I want us to conclude in prayer this morning, and I'm going to ask for a volunteer. So I want you to be prepared. I want someone just to stand where you are and lift your voice and pray that God would help us to be, would enable us to be the church that he wants us to be in this community, that we would be all of these characteristics and more. And my friend, that takes God's intervention. So I want somebody. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm going to give 20 seconds for if you just feel in your heart that you'd like to stand and lead us. And we're going to agree with you as you pray. Lead us in prayer. God, help us to be the church that you want us to be so that we can have the most impact for you. Who, is there somebody that would want to stand and just lead us in prayer? You hear from me enough. I could pray, but I'd love for someone in the body here this morning just to say, I'll pray. Thanks, Sandy. Yeah, would you stand and then we just hear a little better. Amen. Thank you, Sandy, for leading us. I want to close in one more prayer for needs that are represented here. Sadly, a couple of weeks ago, David Chechka's brother, David and Kristen, attend here, and his brother in Oregon passed away in a motorcycle accident, and he and his wife, his name was Matthew, and Sandra would have been married 5 years this August, and Mr. and Mrs. Chechka are here, and we want as a church to just support you and love you and lift you up. And so, church, I ask you in these days, as the Spirit leads you, to uphold this family. And David and his two other brothers that and his parents that are grieving this this very tragic loss at this time. So we uphold you, friends, in prayer. And our hearts go to you and can't comprehend what you're walking through, but we love you. And I want us to pray for them today. Maybe there's situations in your life that are really challenging right now, and something maybe you've been walking through for a long time, or maybe it's just a new, maybe you visited the doctor recently and got some news that was not so good, or you're concerned for a family member. I invite you, as an expression of faith, as I pray, just to lift your hand. Are there needs that I can pray for this morning? Would you lift your hand if there are? Yes, I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we continue to pray, Rhonda, for you and your family. Thank you. God knows that situation. Let's stand and just ask God to bring his healing strength to our hearts today. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're there to turn to. We thank you, God, that you do not turn your back on us and that your hands are extended to us. Your love, your heart, your strength, your comfort, your peace. We need that. Lord, today I pray for the Chechka family. Lord, we as a church family just lift them up to you, God. May your strength, your comfort, and your peace be with them. Oh, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would bring what each heart needs. God, may each one just lean hard on you, depend on you in this time of loss. Lord, we pray that as well for Rhonda and her family. She's lost her dad. God, we just pray for the Mahill family, extended family, that God, you would just work, bring your comfort, continue to speak to each individual in the midst of walking through this loss, this time of loss, and grief, Lord God. And Lord, there's others in this place who maybe have lost jobs or have come upon a significant challenge in relationships or need a healing touch or whatever it is, God, you're able. You are able. So I pray in this moment that we would just look to you and ask you to minister according to the need. You know the need, God, but we just express our confidence and trust in who you are. Bring healing, bring restoration, bring peace, bring comfort, bring wisdom where that is needed, oh God, in each situation. Lord, each individual that raised a hand this morning, you know the beginning from the end. You see the big picture, and we can rest in that. We want to rest in that. Help us to rest in that and trust you each step of the way, oh God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.